بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, the days pass by, they pass by faster than anyone expected. It's as if we just gathered here yesterday talking about how one shackles his inclination the day the shaitan gets shackled. And today, this is our farewell khatira. That's Ramadan, and that's the days of one's life. They pass by, and what you get out of them are your deeds for you or your sins against you. Glory and congratulation to those who Ramadan leaves them with a white, clean registry. One that'll make one proud when he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Congratulations to those whose tears generously flowed over their cheeks in humility and reverence, enjoying the special bond between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessed be those who purified themselves with deeds, those who honored and elevated their souls with nearness to Allah. That's the way to honor your soul. That's the way to cure it. How privileged is he who leaves Ramadan with a new relationship with Allah. Renewed vows, firm promises, a clean slate, fresh resolutions. The others, have worthless New Year's resolutions they never keep. We have honorable Ramadan resolutions to Allah. Our resolution is to remain good. Our resolution is to distance ourselves from sins. And if we stumble, we jump back up with repentance. As the clock is ticking, Ramadan's almost slipping away. Our vow is not to let Qiyam and Siyam slip away. Our resolution is that what Ramadan instilled in us, it shall become part of us for the rest of the year until next Ramadan, and then for the rest of our life. Taqwa. We got taqwa out of Ramadan. God consciousness, awareness that Allah is watchful over us. That shall remain throughout the year. Ramadan is gone, but humility to Allah, recitation of the Quran, dua to Allah, pleading with Allah, that shall remain. You changed your ways. You left so many sins. You repented from many more. Allah rescued you from the darkness, the deep darkness of the sins. You're walking out a clean and pure man, as clean as pure as the day your mother gave birth to you, inshallah. Don't drown yourself in the sewage of sins again. In the last few hours of Ramadan, give it all you got. There's no time to rest. Our rest as believers only comes when we enter Jannah. When both of our feet enter Jannah, that's when we rest. You may have had a slow beginning or shortcoming in the early part of Ramadan, but matters are based on how they end, so let Ramadan end with the best that you got. While you do that, you gotta start preparing for what's after Ramadan. Don't let it take you by surprise. Just like we prepared for Ramadan before Ramadan, in the final moments of Ramadan, we give it all we got, and at the same time, we prepare ourselves for what's after Ramadan. What's after Ramadan? Give me a glimpse of what's after Ramadan. The shaitan's been resting. He's been watching in agony. He sees your salah and your ibadah. He sees that clean cloak of iman you're wearing. He wants to drag you in the gutter again. He's been restrained in bitterness. He's been restrained in agony. He's watching all the deeds, all the repentance. He can't do nothing about it. Don't let him get you to breach that covenant with Allah. Don't break your oath and vow with Allah. Your deeds in Ramadan are the most beautiful mansion anyone could build. You built it brick by brick every second of Ramadan, layer by layer. You suffered to build it. The hunger, the thirst, the sleep, overcoming desires, struggling with your nafs, your inclination. Your deeds accumulated in Ramadan are like the billions a man accumulated in hard work throughout his life. What would you say if any one of you, and most of you are students in college, you worked so hard on a special project, it took weeks, maybe months, You saved it on a PowerPoint file. And then just out of the blue, for no reason, right before you were going to hand it to your professor, you went and formatted your hard drive. Crazy man. Crazy. Everyone's going to say crazy. Just like someone who burned the millions who he accumulated throughout the lifetime. And he accumulated in hard labor. That's the example of one who goes back to his old ways after Ramadan. Juraij in Sud ibn Kathir, as we mention every year. As they said, that crazy woman in Mecca. Some even mentioned her name. Raita bint Amr ibn Ka'b. And other mentioned that it's just a breach of covenant or promise. The crazy woman of Mecca. She would knit that beautiful blanket, cloak, hat, whatever it may be. When she's done knitting, she pulls the two strands, rendering that beautiful item that she made into just a pile of strings. What you doing, crazy woman? Tie those threads and move on and make another one. She does it over and over and over again. Everyone looks at her and says, she's crazy. Just like the one who had that PowerPoint project and his career was dependent on it. And right before he submits it, he formats his hard drive. The one who destroys his deeds after Ramadan is even crazier than that. وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَ تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't be like her. Don't be like her. Meaning her, that crazy woman we talked about, who undoes the thread which she has spun after it becomes good and strong. She finishes it, and then she takes the strings apart. Don't be like the man who built that high rise after years and years of building it. As soon as it was done and he's about to move in, he puts a dynamite and blows it down. Don't be a Ramadani, be a Imani, Ahsani, Rabbani. That's exactly what we're trying to get at. Ramadan dies, the days die, but the Lord of Ramadan and the days never dies. Do you ever see someone or smell someone who smells very horrible, and you look at him, he's unkept, untidy, disheveled, dirty. You see him, you can't look at him, you can't stand the smell. Suddenly he takes a shower, combs his hair, puts on cologne. Immediately after his makeover, he heads immediately right into a sump of waste and jumps in it, takes a dive in it. That's the one who Allah cleaned from sins and walks right after that, after Ramadan, into the waste of sins, into the sump of sins. Did you ever see a weak man or woman, yellow and pale? They caught some kind of illness or disease. He went to the hospital for that illness. He was about to die. They do therapy on him. They give him medicine. They do laser, whatever it may be. He comes back to life a strong, healthy person, free of his illness. What if he walks out of that hospital and goes right back to that which the doctor told him? That's what caused that illness that you got. You're a healthy person with imanic Ramadan, imanic therapy of Ramadan. Don't let the disease of sins make you weak. Don't let it make you hazel and weak after Ramadan. Don't let the shaitan fulfill his vow and promise over us, over mankind. Like he said, like cattle. لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I shall surely seize them and mislead them, just like one leads a dog. That's what أَحْتَنِكَن. I wants to lead us, just like someone puts a tether on a dog and leads him. Allah says after that, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ذَنَّهُ. He fulfilled, the shaitan fulfilled his promise. إِلَّا, except, be among those exceptions. Except a few of the believers, the verse says. From now on, you need to plan for what's after the Eid. Otherwise, the shaitan will get the better part of you. Have a certain portion of Quran after Ramadan. From now, you got to make that intention. No matter what happens, I'm not going to miss it every single day. Have nightly private moments with Allah. No matter how small they are, but never miss them no matter what. Have days of the month that you fast. No matter what, 3 days, 2 days a month. And then you're going to see that you're going to need more. You're going to progress, but just start with a little bit that you won't leave no matter what. No matter what kind of day you had, you never leave it. Do the honorable, noble deed of asking Allah in these days to accept. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ Those who give, indeed. And their hearts are full of fear. Fear of what? They give deeds, charity. Their hearts are fear, full of fear. Fear of it not being accepted. Aisha asked the Prophet ﷺ, yeah, those are the ones who drink alcohol and steal. The sinners. Listen to the unexpected answer by the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He said, those are the ones who, not the sinners, Aisha radiallahu anha, not the sinners, those are the ones who pray and fast and give charity. And then fear, it's not going to be accepted. Some of the salaf remained, like we say, 6 months asking Allah to accept the Ramadan. Just because you did it, it's not guaranteed acceptance. Ibrahim raised the pillars of the Kaaba by an order from Allah. A super special messenger. A very noble task. A direct order from his Lord. A messenger who no one can doubt his sincerity. Yet he's saying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Don't feel arrogant. Don't feel arrogant that you did a worship to Allah. Imagine you borrowed $1,000 from someone. Desperate, you borrowed it. And then you went to pay it back. You went back when you were late. And it was deficient. You give that $1,000 back in arrogance, tell him, hey, take your $1,000, get out of my face. Or in humility and wanting him not to be mad at you because he did you a favor. Allah's blessings are numerous over you. There's nothing you can do on this earth that can pay him back for what he's given you. So don't get arrogant with your deeds. Ask Allah to accept your deeds from you. And be humble. Allah gave you and gave you. No matter what you do, you can never repay it. No matter how good you perfected it, and no matter how much of it you did, in quality and quantity, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تَحْصُوهُ Allah gave you more, much more than you can imagine. In a few days, in a few hours, the big ceremony of one's life will be held. The certificates of Ramadan will be handed out. Keep working and asking Allah that your neck will be among those necks freed from Jahannam. And that you're liberated from Jahannam. أَعَذَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُم مِّنْهَا While you prepare yourself for this transition, there's another matter to work on as Ramadan slips away. So what we talked about so far, first of all, you keep working to the last moment of Ramadan. And of course, like we said in the beginning, the last moment of Ramadan is Maghrib. Maghrib. Our days start and end at Maghrib. So if they say, for example, tomorrow is the last day of Ramadan, it ends at Maghrib. You work till that last moment. Number two, you ask Allah to accept. Number three, you work on the transition. Number four, that I want to talk about, the final point, keep in mind to rinse your heart. Clean your heart. Part of the university of Ramadan is to live with a pure heart. But why is that more important, Ramadan? And here I'm talking, we talked about this issue in pertaining to ibadah. I'm talking about pertaining to other brothers and sisters of yours. You got to clean your heart towards Muslims. Why does that pertain more so to Ramadan? Listen to the hadith. Abu Huraira said that the Prophet ﷺ said, تُعْرَضُ الْأَعْمَالُ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمِ خَمِيسٍ وَإِثْنَيْنِ فَيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا Listen. The deeds of people are presented to Allah every Monday and Thursday. Allah forgives everyone who's a Muslim, who doesn't associate a partner to him. إِلَّا امْرَأً كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَاءُ فَيُقَالْ أَرْكُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا أَرْكُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا Except those two who are deserting each other, Allah says, leave those until they reconcile. Leave those. Put theirs aside until they reconcile. All those deeds, you wanted to elevate and ascend to heaven, reconcile. Reestablish your relationship that you severed with others. Why is it so important in these days? Because if you want that hard work you did in Ramadan to soar to the heavens, reconcile now. Reestablish relationship you severed right now. Right now before Ramadan ends. It wasn't my fault, Ahmed. It wasn't his, it's his fault. He started it. He did it. Okay. It's his fault. It's her fault. Let's not argue. That's not the issue here. We're not judging whose fault it is. We're saying reconcile with your brothers and sisters if you want your deeds to soar. But I don't get along with him. Or she's a sister, I don't get along with her. Try to amend. We're not talking about going overnight and getting close and bringing them over for a feast and inviting them for coffee or dinner. If you can do that, do it. That's good. The minimum amount, so you won't be considered one who Allah says about their deeds, put that aside. Put it aside. Is assalamu alaikum. That's the minimum amount. You have to have that with your brother. You have to have that with your sister. Meaning sisters with sisters and brothers with brothers. That's what I'm saying. That lifts. You got to say assalamu alaikum to lift abandoning your brother. Do it before Eid. In a phone call. In a text. In the masjid. Assalamu alaikum. Be the one who initiates it. Because that's the best of the two. That's the first issue. And abandon it, your Muslim brother. Say assalamu alaikum. Break it with assalamu alaikum. Another issue is mingle with other Muslims and relatives in this month more than regular times, more than regular days. In iftar, in taraweeh, in the masjid. They have iftar together with families. There's more contact. There's the bigger chance of problems occurring. So that's why it's also essential to clean your heart at the end of Ramadan. Brothers came to visit me a few days ago from out of state. They said, we want to stop by after Taraweeh. And after I returned, I waited and waited. Then they came very late. I said, where you been? They said, after Isha, someone takes the microphone and begins to blast another group in the masjid. And then the feud goes on back and forth. And then the Taraweeh gets delayed. Now, the final moments approach. Establish hearts with no ill will, no evil. Something that's lacking in this ummah. Where are those who go to sleep like our salaf with no ill feelings in their hearts towards their brothers? Well, he could be right, he could be wrong. That's not the issue. The issue is cleaning the heart. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ And those who came after them. What about those who came after them? A praise and glory to those who came after them. But why? There's a reason why. Tell us why, Ya Allah. يقولون. They say something. يقولون. ربنا اغفر لنا. Oh Allah, forgive us. ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. They say, Ya Allah, forgive us. And forgive those who preceded us in faith. ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. Don't put, Ya Allah, in our hearts any hatred to those who believe. ربنا إنك رؤوف الرحيم. Look how beautiful that is. Allah praised them because they make dua. لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا. No, not a tiny bit of bitter feeling to any believer. In البداية والنهاية for Ibn Kathir. In the 13th volume, Sufyan ibn Husayn said, I mentioned something bad about a brother in front of Iyas ibn Muawiyah. Iyas, a scholar, knowledgeable, fearful, man who feared Allah. Sufyan said, Iyas looked me straight in the eyes and said, Did you fight the Romans? Some of the enemies of Islam who were killing Muslims back then. He said, did you fight the Romans? Sufyan said, no. He said, did you fight the people of sin? Sufyan said, no. Iyas said, did you fight people of Hind or the Turks? Sufyan said, no. He said, the enemies of Allah, the Romans, the Hind, the Sin, the Turks are at peace from you. And the Muslims are not? Sufyan said, I never went back to talking about Muslims after that. Their brothers, there's some who their brothers seen their Botox smiles and their slander in their heart. While they reserve their wholehearted smile to their counterpart friends, enemies of Tawheed, on the interfaith roundtables. They're willing to overlook a man's shirk and make it incumbent on one to have dialogue with him. But if you dare adopt the opinion that voting is haram, they'll make you an outcast and spread lies and rumors and try to get you behind the walls. Unity with the grave worshippers, that's okay. Dialogue with the people of Trinity, that's fard ayn. brother in the Shia, oh, that's on the top of the list. It's obligatory. But if you ever speak on the causes of the Ummah or speak to someone who speaks on the causes of the Ummah or learn from him, the weak and those imprisoned and those killed and those who have no one to speak about them, then woe to you. Pulpy and mushy they are with the enemies of Allah, and tusks and growls to the believers of La ilaha illallah. That's their characteristic. Listen, pulpy and mushy they are with the enemies of Allah, and tusks and growls to the believers of La ilaha illallah, the opposite of adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen, izzatin ala al-kafirin. Sufyan ibn Husayn said, I never went back to harming or having harboring ill feelings towards any Muslim after that. You got a lot of shortcomings. Clean your heart. Learn how to treat your brothers from the man who Allah purified his manners from on top of seven heavens. At-Tirmidhi narrated and it said it's Hassan. And Al-Bayhaqi also narrated it in a different chain. They told the Prophet ﷺ, Thaqif are throwing us with arrows. The arrows of Thaqif are burning us. These are people who were not enemies, but were throwing the Sahaba with arrows. Make dua on them, O Prophet of Allah. The Prophet said, Allahumma hdi thaqifan wa atibihim. Oh Allah, guide thaqifan, bring them to me. Another tribe that harbored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Amasri was Daws. At-Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi. He embraces Islam and then he goes to convey the message back to Daws. They give him a hard time. Some of his relatives become Muslim, and among those who became Muslim with him is Abu Huraira. He's from Daws. He returned to visit the Prophet ﷺ. He's telling the Prophet ﷺ how his tribe is. At-Tufail said, they're refusing to believe. They're giving me a hard time. Make dua on them, O Prophet of Allah. The Prophet raised his hands. Abu Huraira sitting there, he said, when the Prophet ﷺ raised his hands, I said that it's the days of Daws are done. It's over for Daws. Allah is going to doom and destroy them. But the mercy of mankind said, Rahmatan lil alameen, he raised his hand, said, Allahumma ahdi Dawsan wa atibihim. Oh Allah, guide those and bring them to me. Bring them to me as believers. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Why I say this is I wish some Muslims can treat each other with guidance and kindness and wisdom that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated some of his enemies. They made him bleed. They pelted him with stones. They vowed to tell Quraysh, you're sneaking. That we're going to tell Quraysh that he's sneaking behind behind their back to spread the message to nearby towns of At-Ta'if. When he told Aisha about this day, he said this was the worst day of his da'wah career. Later on, before he died, she asked him what's the worst day. Was this one the day of At-Ta'if? Out of the 23 years, this was the worst day. And you know, the Prophet had a lot of difficult days. Within moments now, he has upper hand. His sweat didn't dry. The blood didn't go away. He has the upper hand and not any type of upper hand. The angel of Jibreel and the angel of the mountains. One word would have crumbled down the mountain of At-Ta'if in chunks big enough to roll down and destroy the disbelievers of Mecca after it swallows the people of At-Ta'if and sets a lesson for the world. Don't you ever mess with Muhammad again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what's his words? No. Maybe Allah will bring from their descendants those who will worship Allah. Maybe Allah will bring from their descendants those who will worship Allah. Deep foresight. Do you realize the foresight of those words? Do you realize the foresight of those words? Listen to a snippet of that wisdom from the most notorious enemies of Allah. Those who harbored the most harm to the Prophet ﷺ. From them came out from their descendants those who brought the leadership to Islam. And those who were the greatest heroes of Islam, when they were making love to their women, when they were mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making love to their women and conspiring to do more, thinking they had the upper hand, they were in reality making babies that are one day going to bring victory to Islam. The man who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Fir'aun of this ummah, from his descendants come Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, the man who made history in his fights alongside Abu Bakr against the apostates, the Murtaddin, And more so in the battle of Yarmouk after that. From Al-Walid ibn Abi al-Mughira, the man who Allah threatened him in the Quran, the man Allah revealed Quran in him, threatening him, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدًا. The verses go on. The man who gathered the Quraysh to make one lie, when the lies were many against the Prophet ﷺ, to make one standard lie. A man Allah threatened, he gives birth to Saifullah al-Maslul, the drawn sword of Allah, Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiyallahu anhu. From Abu Lahab comes Utbah and Mut'ib, the man who became believers in the conquest of Mecca and fought such a strong fight in the battle of Hunayn. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُخْرِجُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Now is the time for those filthy-hearted people to wash their hearts before Ramadan is over, from any ill feelings against their brothers, against their sisters, evil, wicked hearts that sometimes harbor animosity for 15 and 20, 25 years, even if it wasn't that long, even if it just happened a few days ago in Ramadan in the masjid. It doesn't matter. Clean the heart out. When a man kills another, in Islamic law, he goes to the Khalifa. He goes to the Khalifa. The Khalifa appoints it to a judge. He goes before the judge. Any immediate relative over the age of puberty can forgive the killer. He can be forgiven totally, or they can make an agreement and forgive for a ransom. This is one of the few matters where even if it reaches the judge, the party can settle out, unlike other matters. Look at the word, and when Allah talks about it in the Quran, when He's talking about it, He says, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The guy just killed. You know what Allah refers to him? Not as a killer or killed. Brother. They just killed. There's just the blood. Let it go. Akhi. He's still his brother. He's still his brother. The brother of the bond of La ilaha illallah is still Muslim. Akhi. He used Allah says akhi. In a matter of murder. There's men who give their life and wealth and honor and family for the sake of Allah. And there are those who give their life for the sake of slander and envy and hatred and harbor ill feelings. That contradicts taqwa. That means you didn't attain taqwa Ramadan. Ibn Asakir once said, fear the flesh of the scholars, meaning don't backbite them, don't talk about them, don't slander them. Fear the flesh of the scholars because they're poisonous. The destiny of one who degrades them is very short. I'll revise it to say every believer's honor, every believer's flesh is poisonous. And the destiny of one who transgresses on it is very short. Wallah al-azim. I can give examples, but we don't have time for those who went with ill hearts towards Muslims and within years were apostates. Clear apostates. Clean the abscess and pus out of that heart. Meaning they declared it. Some who declared they're Hindu. Because of that filthy heart, it leads to bigger things. A man who they bring to the Prophet, a man who was drinking. He was drinking. And they bring him and whip him. And they bring him and whip him. And he drinks again and again and again. A man, Sahaba, got sick and tired. He said, أخزاك الله, may Allah embarrass you. The Prophet said, لا تقولوا هكذا. لا تعينوا عليه الشيطان. Don't say it like that. Don't aid the shaitan over your brother. He's a believer. He's a Muslim. Yeah, he has the sin. Yes, he made the sin of drinking. But that doesn't diminish that he's a believer in La ilaha illallah. And I'm not diminishing that it's a small sin. But he made a sin. He may have a storage of deeds that generations like me and you could not have done. And maybe Allah only exposed one of his sins. Only one of his sins got exposed. Yet he has plenty of deeds me and you don't know about. And maybe the person harboring feelings is hiding plenty of a lot of secrets, but Allah hasn't exposed them yet. That's why he's so bitter. Once you remove the arrogance and feeling that you're above everyone, that'll make things easier for you to amend. Bakr ibn Abdullah said, if you see a man occupied in the faults of others, forgetting his own, then know that Allah has plotted against him. That's a sign Allah plotted against him. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنَتَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day where neither wealth or sons will be of avail or help to you. One thing will. A clean heart. A clean heart. So someone is going to tell me, okay, yeah, Ahmed, is this a continuation of yesterday's talk? On fasting of the tongue. No, it's not. It's totally different talk. Fasting of the tongue is watching what you say. Now we're talking about heart purification. Heart purification, not in ibadah, because we already talked about that. Heart purification towards your brothers. To clean your heart towards your brothers. Everyone knows Ibn Taymiyyah. What kind of enemies did Ibn Taymiyyah have? His enemies were enemies in innovation. His enemies were enemies in deep major innovations. The scholars and rulers who conspired against him because of principles he had in Islamic matters, in aqidah, in tawheed. That's what everyone knows what Ibn Taymiyyah is about. He was never married, so he couldn't have had any disputes with any in-laws. He had no money. All he had was the shirt on his back, so he couldn't have had any materialistic disputes with anyone. He slept most of his days in the masjid, so he couldn't have had disputes with his landlord. His matters were others. With others were matters of aqidah. He had no job, so he couldn't have never had problems with a boss. You remember in the talk we had, those of you who attended the seminar in the University of Yusuf, we mentioned that when the scholars who put Ibn Taymiyyah in prison, while he was in prison, the tables turned. The scholars and the ruler they had, that scholar was overthrown. Now the new leader who hated those scholars and the ex-leader took Ibn Taymiyyah out of prison, honored him, and brought those scholars who put Ibn Taymiyyah in prison, brought them to prison and released Ibn Taymiyyah. He told Ibn Taymiyyah one word. He wanted one word. He already hated them, but he wanted one word to justify his killing. One word and I'll do it. He wanted to do it because he hated them. They supported the ex-leader. Ibn Taymiyyah said, no. These are scholars. These are ulama. If you kill them, they're good. These are people who, if they're gone, you know, there's going to be a lot of evil. Ahmed Farid in his book on Ibn Taymiyyah said, when Ibn Makhluf was released, and he was one of the Maliki imams, the biggest imam, Maliki imams of his time, when he was released, he said, I've never seen a man more magnanimous than Ibn Taymiyyah. We brought the rulers against Ibn Taymiyyah to imprison him, and when he had the upper hand to kill us and behead us with one word, he spared our life and defended us and praised us. I was reading for the fifth time in my life. I read it throughout my life five times. A very important book. I suggest all read it. I don't know if it's translated or not. Book called Madarij al-Salikin, written by, I was just reading, I didn't even finish it the fifth time before Ramadan. I stopped before Ramadan. I was in the middle of the second volume. And it's Ibn al-Qayyim is the author, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, I never seen a man like Ibn Taymiyyah. Never made dua on his enemies. Ibn Qayyim said, I went one time to give him good news. What's the good news, Ibn Qayyim? He said, I went to give him the good news that one of his biggest enemy died. Ibn al-Qayyim was so excited to go tell his sheikh his enemy died. Ibn Taymiyyah, when Ibn al-Qayyim walked in and he told him so-and-so died, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There's no good news in a Muslim dying. Ibn al-Qayyim said, on the spot, he jumped up, got up, and went to the people to the house of the family, the person who died, and he went to give them condolence. He went to give them condolence. And he went to the kids of that person, and he told the kids of that person, I'm like your father. You lost your father, but I'm not like your father. Anything you need, let me know. They got so happy, and they honored and loved Ibn Taymiyyah so much. Ibn al-Qayyim said they honored and loved him so much because look at his forgiveness, because of his pure heart. And this was, he called him the biggest enemy of Ibn Taymiyyah. Ramadan is slipping away. Let us forget. Let us forgive and forget. One of Ibn Taymiyyah's students once said, I wish I was to my friends like Ibn Taymiyyah was to his enemies. I wish I could have the qualities he had with my friends like he had with his enemies. We started a new page with Allah. Let us start a new page with Muslims. I know we went past our time, but a few more minutes since this is the last khatira. Ali ibn al-Husayn, the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He had a servant. She went to get him a vase of water to make wudu. She dropped the vase on his head while she was trying to help him. And it was wounded. On the spot, she said, وَالْقَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْفِ Those who repress their anger. He said, I repressed my anger. On the spot, he's mad, he's bleeding. And this is a servant. She knew who she was talking to. She said, "والعافين عن الناس." Those who pardon men. He said, "I pardon you. I pardon you. I repress my anger. I pardon you." She finished the verse. "والله يحب المحسنين." Allah loves the muhsinin, the ones who do good, meaning those who give. He said, "You're free for the sake of Allah." Look at that. Look at that manner. Look at that pure white heart. I'll conclude with this ayah that you all know. But it was revealed about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Imagine that your mom, your daughter, may Allah protect you and guard you and your relatives, your mom, your daughter, your sister, is her honor's talked about. She's degraded. Your blood boils. Imagine when it's someone you've been supporting for years. And he talks about someone immediate relative. That was Mistah ibn Uthath. Mistah ibn Uthath was a man, Abu Bakr used to give him his monthly paycheck every day. Man, he was very poor. Among the people on the list of Abu Bakr, he used to give him charity every single month. His livelihood, his survival depended, after Allah of course, on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq giving him charity. At the time when people accused Aisha, he spoke ill about him. So Abu Bakr cut him off, cut his paycheck off. Days after things, you know, got calm and Allah brought verses revealing that Aisha is innocent, the verse comes down specifically about Abu Bakr. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تَحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. Let them, and this is what I conclude with, let them pardon and forgive. Let them pardon and forgive. Do you not want that Allah forgive you? If you want Allah forgive you, pardon and forgive. Conclude like that with Ramadan. That's how you want your Ramadan to end. Abu Bakr said, "Wallahi inna nuhib ya Rabbana. Wallahi, we love that you forgive us." And then he went to the man and began to pay him again. A man who talked about his honor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fast and in your worship. And may you inshallah see many more Ramadans to come in the same way we united here for his sake in these khawatir. We unite Allah in the Firdaus al-A'la. Jazakum Allahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Since it's the last one, the last khatira, those who need to go, they can leave. And you have any questions, we'll answer them.